The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance. And here's Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you doing today?
Well, trying to wrap our heads around this Mike Hoffman trade. So he goes to San Jose, and then they flip him to Florida. Is that because Ottawa wasn't willing to talk within the division and wasn't willing to trade him directly to Florida, or what happened here?
Well, I know they did talk within the division. I know they talked to Dale Tallon about a trade for Hoffman. According to Tallon, they were asking too much. They didn't want draft picks. They wanted players. And whether or not sometimes in a division a team might ask for a premium when they're dealing with a team they know is a rival. But you also know that there's absolutely nothing to stop any general manager that you do trade a player to of flipping them back within your division. That can happen all the time. I mean, the LA Kings traded Martin Jones to the Boston Bruins, if I remember correctly, and Martin Jones quickly was flipped back to the San Jose Sharks.
Right.
If my memory serves.
Yep.
And LA knew when they were doing this that there was a chance that could happen, and I guess Ottawa had to know there was a chance that this could happen as well. The question that that would need to be asked of Ottawa is, why did you want Bodker and his salary versus draft picks for Mike Hoffman? Or why did you not pursue the draft pick conversation with Florida when you were asking for players before? And is there a reason for that? Because at face value, you would think a second, a fourth, and a fifth would be worth more. I mean, Doug Wilson did some nifty maneuvering here to free up cap space and load the cupboard with draft picks. And so, you know, I know Ottawa, initially, the asking price on Hoffman was a first-round pick and a prospect. That was before all the negativity came out on the accusations against his fiance and his stock plummeted. So I don't know what specifically in the negotiation with Florida, you know, if at that time Ottawa simply wasn't prepared to take draft picks and wanted instead a player like, you know, a serviceable player like Bodker, but one who's overpaid. Does it have anything to do with what's going to happen here in the next week? Where they're going to need hockey players because they might be shipping a bunch out the door, at least Erik Karlsson and maybe Bobby Ryan, potentially on the move. And if those guys are on the move and, you know, you've got to get to the cap floor and you've got to have enough serviceable players in your lineup and maybe you're getting a lot of future considerations in a Karlsson deal, well, then maybe Bodker is more valuable to you in the very short term than some extra draft picks. So I'm not sure what the specific rationale was one way or the other, but at the end of the day, they got cents on the dollar on Hoffman, bottom line.
Bob, you just mentioned the negativity around Hoffman. Is there any kind of timeline where we can get to the bottom of this? I'm sure if Hoffman, 100%, or as he claims, 150%, it's not him, I'm sure he'd like to get that result sooner. Like, is there any timeline or where we find out this was this woman that he's engaged to?
Nothing ever may happen on this. I don't know the ins and outs of the story. I mean, I'm a hockey reporter, and I got enough on my plate without trying to figure out what happens when somebody goes to swear a protection order with a justice of the peace. It's a little outside my wheelhouse. But having said that, I mean, and unless there was some criminal activity that the police are convinced that they have proof of proceeding, this is one of these things that may never, you know, it may just stick right where it is right now. Because, again, and I'm talking out of my backside in terms of what I know about these legal proceedings, but it's one thing to get this protection order. It's another thing to have it served, and I don't know that it was ever served. And so the bottom line is, if you're Mike Hoffman, you just go off to Florida and you go and play hockey, and you'd like to get it resolved and you'd like to have your fiance's name cleared, but in the absence of that, maybe nothing ever happens more than this, and sort of the cloud kind of follows you around. But nevertheless, you just move on with your life and start fresh in Florida with the Panthers.
With Bob McKenzie. All right, let's get to Tavares and your tweets yesterday about the Leafs and them potentially putting together a video, trying to, sway him to come here if it gets to that point. And as of next Monday, if he's still unsigned with the Islanders, he can talk to whoever he wants. And Dreg's reporting that it will probably be five or less teams that actually get that opportunity to meet with Tavares. But Why do you believe the Leafs could be one of those five teams?
Well, first and foremost, we're kind of operating a little bit blindly here. We know that Tavares is negotiating with the Islanders, as Dreg pointed out. If he gets to the free agent period, there's going to be five teams that he looks at. Have no idea whether Toronto would be one of those. Toronto would like to be one of those. And all I was saying was, you hear things through the grapevine, and what I heard was that Toronto is in the process of putting something together that if Tavares should get the free agency and if they get the opportunity to get him in the shopping period, that they would have something to present to him. And it's funny the reaction on Twitter, and people were laughing and saying, oh, how stupid is a video, and that. There's a really good book written about the – Tom Verducci wrote about the Chicago Cubs, and it was all about the boy wonder general manager there. I forget his name.
Theo Epstein.
Theo. And Joe Maddon. And it was all about the Cubs and their winning year or whatever. And there's a great passage in there where it talks about how they got the pitcher from Boston, John Lester, if I'm right.
Yeah, Lester.
You can tell I'm a real neophyte with baseball, but the book was fantastic. It was a really good book. Anyways, the manner in which they got him was with this really, really elaborate video where they showed the marquee at Wrigley Field with Lester pitching and his name up there as pitching in a World Series deciding game, and it was really well done. And after the fact, I think Lester said that was the thing that really thing. So, hey, listen, lots of teams do this sort of stuff, and the fact that it's in Toronto, and I knew when I first mentioned it that people would freak out because there's two groups of people involved in this discussion. One is Leaf fans who get all fired up and lose their mind and think, yeah, Bob McKenzie said they're putting a video together for Toronto. That must mean they're getting him. Well, no, he's not even in free agency yet, and there's no guarantee the Leafs will even be in the mix for him. But I think, all things being equal, they'd like that opportunity to try and work something out. And so there's that. And then the other group of people is the people who freak out because they think anytime anybody mentions the Toronto Maple Leafs pursuing somebody, that you are automatically one of those people who assumes all the Leafs are going to get all the best players. And as I said with Scotty Mack and Bruce Arthur on Scotty's show yesterday, we talked about the reverse possibility. What if Austin Matthews wants to do a short-term deal so he can go home and play for his hometown Arizona Coyotes in 5 years? And how funny would that be? So I understand the dynamic that's at work, and we'll just kind of let it take a day at a time until we see where Tavares is at and where he gets to.
Well, for sure, but I guess what I would take out of this all is that if you're hoping to become one of those teams that meets with him, you're not doing it to waste time. Like, you're going in with a 7-year deal at a lot of money, because you're not going to show up.
That's the whole point. I don't think we should assume anything in terms of, if the Leafs were to have interest in Tavares, and as I said, I suspect if he's free, they would at least like to see what. You'd have to get real creative, because everybody knows there's financial implications for the Leafs with Matthews and Marner and Nylander and everything they've got to get done. And I don't know if there's an easy way just to throw a big double-digit number on the table at 7 years and say, yeah, we can still fit John Tavares in all this. Maybe it needs to be a 5-year deal. Maybe it needs to be, structured differently. And so I'm sure there's a lot of creative ways any team, never mind just the Toronto Maple Leafs, would look to try and crack the Tavares nut as it applies to them individually. And then it will be up to Tavares to decide which five or six teams he's potentially interested in looking at. But it'll be fascinating over the course of the next week to see how it all plays out.
Well, I would think the Leafs, you got to go big game hunting if the big game is out there.
Yeah,
the same thing with Carlson. Like, I can't picture Ottawa ever trading Carlson to Toronto, just based on what we saw with Hoffman, the owner, the tire fire in that city. But you got to make a call. I mean,
you got to sniff around. Bobby, just out of curiosity, what kind of things are presented in these, meetings? It's like, this is what we're going to pay you, the term?
Well, in theory, you're not supposed to negotiate, in theory, but I mean, who's kidding who? You can talk about, they say you can talk about general parameters, whatever that
means. Oh, come
on. Yeah, exactly.
It's
once
numbers.
You get in the room and what have you. And here's the bottom line. I mean, the Leafs were in a little different situation a couple of years ago when Steven Stamkos was up, because they were that much further away from having to deal with the Matthews extension, the Marner extension, and all of that, and Nylander as well. But, you know, they made it well known at that time that they were all in and very interested in getting Steven Stamkos. And I don't know why it would come as a surprise to anybody other than trying to, you know, paying heed to the financial implications of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander at all, that the Leafs wouldn't be interested if John Tavares becomes available. And as I said, it might be a long shot by the time you have to figure out the structure and the finances. But as I say, we, you know, we're, again, dealing in hypotheticals because who knows? Maybe a day or two or three from now, John Tavares is going to say, boom, done. Got my new deal done with the New York Islanders, and I'm happy to stay here and not even get to the stage that Stamkos got to, where he was right on the doorstep of free agency. And after the meeting with the Leafs, basically decided that was the catalyst, actually. You know, it might have been so overwhelming for him that the Leafs had all these corporate partners and everybody involved to make presentations to Stamkos on how much money he could earn outside of being a player with the Toronto Maple Leafs and endorsements and everything else. And I think he got a little overwhelmed by the whole thing and basically instructed his agents after that, get a deal done with Tampa and let's get the hell out of here.
Soft. That's why he's from Markham, not Toronto. You got to point that out. How do you turn your back on that kind of?
JT's from Mississauga.
Well, that's a good point, actually. Maybe I should watch myself. All right, Bob. Good stuff, man. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.